Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. My name is Stuart Smith, and I'm here to bring you all the fallout from an extraordinary weekend of J2 action, while Mike Innes will be here later on to bring you a roundup of what happened in the Emperor's Cup first round proper. But league action, there's only one place to start, really. We should start at the top of J2, as we now have new front runners in the form of Kyoto Sanga after they won 1-0 away at previous leaders Albirex Niigata. A second half strike from Sanga midfielder Sota Kawasaki, placing one in from around 25 yards out, proved enough for Chōki J's side as Albirex misfired in front of goal, with Koji Suzuki and Kaito Taniguchi wasting numerous chances for the hosts. Kyoto's win was their ninth in their last 10, and Tomoya Wakahara has now kept 4 clean sheets in a row. Chō's side look like very strong contenders for the top spot come the season's end. FC Ryukyu slipped to third after they were beaten 2-0 at home in the driving rain by a mildly resurgent Montedio Yamagata. Goals from defenders Riku Handa and Hiroki Noda, Noda's a bullet header, gave Peter Klamowski his second win and second clean sheet since taking over. This was Ryukyu's first defeat in 6, but they have a huge test of their promotion credentials next weekend as they make the long trip to the Big Swan to face promotion rivals Albirex Niigata. That one should be a cracker. Going straight to the bottom of the table now as we talk about an eventful weekend for Omiya Ardija. Their 3-1 defeat at the Mikuni World Stadium against fellow relegation candidates Giravants Kitakyushu proved to be the last straw for their manager Ken Iwase, as on Tuesday it was reported that he was going to be fired. That transpired, and we are waiting for confirmation that ex-Nadeshiko Japan coach Norio Sasaki is in line to replace him. The game itself was a microcosm of Omiya's season. Basically a comedy of errors, from Nerman Haskic's fantastic header into his own goal, to Takashi Kasahara's woeful positioning for Giravants' second, to hitting the crossbar on no less than 3 separate occasions. It just wasn't happening for Iwase or Omiya, and to be honest, they just couldn't afford to waste any more time before changing the manager. Ardija are now winless in 10, and they welcome Jeff United Chiba to the NAC 5 next weekend, while Giravants face a difficult trip to Machida Zelvia. If it was eventful for Omiya at the weekend, Tochigi had themselves a memorable weekend, memorable being in inverted commas there, with their 3-0 win against Matsumoto Yamaga becoming somewhat of an afterthought after some really nasty on-field incidents. Tochigi were very, very lucky to finish with 11 men after 2 shocking challenges went relatively unpunished. Ren Yamamoto was only booked for what looked like a horrendous challenge on Matsumoto goalkeeper Murayama, kicking him in the head when the goalkeeper clearly had the ball. And impressive left winger Toshiki Mori went full on studs up into the private regions of Yamaga defender Yuya Ono, something that went completely unpunished by a referee that simply seemed to have lost control of that game. That game was a game that Tochigi convincingly won, Mori himself scoring a wonderful volley in the process of the win, but Tochigi were forced to come out and defend their players and actions in a hastily put together statement on Tuesday evening. They didn't explicitly mention any of the specific incidents in the game, but did euphemistically refer to rough play by both sides. I get the feeling that Matsumoto Yamaga are really looking forward to welcoming Tochigi to the Alwyn in October. Elsewhere in J2, last Wednesday Blaublitz Akita secured a 1-1 draw after equalising in injury time against Renofa Yamaguchi. Akita were down to 10 men after goalkeeper Yudai Tanaka was sent off for a professional foul when Hirofumi Watanabe's header in the 84th minute put the visitors in front. doing himself some serious damage. In the process, he needed lots of medical attention, resulting in 10 minutes of additional time. And it was in that additional time that Naoki Inoue pounced to snatch a share of the spoils for Ken Yoshida's side. Jubilo Iwata continued their decent run as they comfortably overcame Tokyo Verdy 2-0 at the Ajinomoto Stadium. Goals from Yuto Suzuki, a very nice volley, and Kosuke Yamamoto, both scoring their first goals of the season, gave Iwata their 7th win from the last 10, and they now sit in 4th place. In 5th place, Vanfori Corfu, after they won 1-0 away at Mito Hollyhock. The highly impressive wingback Masahiro Sekiguchi's early goal doing the damage. Keep your eye on him. He looks like a really good player. While in 6th place, Machida Zelvia, but they had to settle for a 1-1 draw at Jeff United. Dudu's fine header giving them the lead, only for Tomoya Miki to equalise with a header of his own. Zelvia thought they'd won it, but Kai Miki's header, lots of heading action in this game, was deemed not to have crossed the line, although replay showed that it almost certainly did. It would have been a tricky one for the assistant to see because he was on the opposite sideline, but Zelvia certainly have the right to feel a little bit hard done by there. Rounding up the other games, Viva and Nagasaki made it consecutive wins as Takashi Sawada's first half goal gave them a 1-0 win at Fajiana Okayama. And finally, Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma snatched a point deep into additional time against Suigen Kanazawa as substitute Tomoyuki Shiraishi's header in acres of space in the Suigen penalty area cancelled out Tomonobu Hiroi's first half opener for the hosts. Looking ahead to this week's action, we have the almost mythical Thursday night game as Emperor's Cup rearrangement issues have forced Ehime and Sagamihara, a very important relegation zone battle in its own right, to be played on Thursday, May 27th. On to the regular weekend, new leaders Kyoto welcome tricky visitors Vanfori Corfu to the Sanga Stadium. That'll be an interesting game. All eyes on Niigata as second host third when Niigata welcome FC Ryukyu to the Big Swan. There's a Kitakanto derby that could get a little bit tasty as Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma take on the Wild West Stallions of Tochigi SC, while Omiya will look to start their ascent under new management when they host Jeff United at home. That's all from me this week. Thank you to all the patrons who support this project. We really appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who listens and recommends us, gets in touch with us on Twitter, etc. It's really, really nice to have some kind of community. After a short burst of electronica, the masterful Mike Innes will be here to guide you through the Emperor's Cup first round. Until we speak next time, enjoy Mike Innes.
J-Talk Extra Time. Hello everyone and welcome to J-Talk Short Corner, the mini pod that keeps you up to date with events in J3 of the J-League. I'm your host, Mike Innes, and in this episode I'll be looking back on how J3 teams got on in the first round of the Emperor's Cup and previewing games coming up in round 9 of the league season. Before the main business, a quick look at some J3 news since the last pod. After Kamatamari Sanuki and Gainare Tottori, FC Imabari have become the third J3 club this season to announce a change of coach, with the dismissal of Luis Planaguma and speedy appointment of Keiichiro Nuno. The Spaniard oversaw Imabari's J-League debut campaign in 2020, guiding the team to a very respectable 7th-placed finish. A quarter of the way through this season, however, Imabari lie third bottom in the standings, and club CEO Takeshi Okada referred to disappointing results as the reason for Planaguma's departure. Academy head Kazumaki Hashikawa acted as caretaker for a single fixture I'll cover in a moment, but Nuno has already been announced as the man to take Imabari forwards. His coaching career began at Funabashi Ichiritsu, the high school which has produced so many J-League players. Nuno moved to become the coach of a J-League club in 2018 when he took over at Zaspa Kusatsu Gunma, guiding them to promotion from J3 the following year. He was in charge at Matsumoto Yamagat for the first half of last season, but was sacked in September. His appointment at Imabari marks Nuno's return to the game. Now on to the Emperor's Cup action, and let's start with the first round ties played on Saturday the 22nd of May. From a J3 perspective, the tie of the round was Imabari's trip to neighbours and rivals Ehime FC, who, as JTET listeners will know, have also endured a difficult start to 2021. For his part, Kazuaki Hashikawa made few major changes to the starting lineup for what was to be his only game in charge. 14 minutes in, and the team's new star performer Valdemar netted his sixth goal in only five appearances to put Imabari in front. Ehime pulled level just after the half hour through Takumu Kawamura, but 10 minutes into the second period, veteran defender Yuichi Komano netted the decisive goal and the tie finished Ehime 1, Imabari 2. Given Ehime's circumstances and trajectory, it would be a stretch to call this a giant killing, but for Luis Planaguma, keeping an eye on the score must have been a bittersweet experience. But there's a bigger picture to be looked at, one that portrays the development of football in Ehime Prefecture and across Shikoku, a subject thrown into sharp relief by a result such as this. Coming into form in the league, Roasso Kumamoto eased past Oita's Nippon Bunri University. Goals from captain Sō Kawahara, Shun Ito making his first start of the season, and Wataru Iwashita in injury time, giving them a 3-0 win. It was tougher going, though, for AC Nagano Parseiro in their tie against Niigata University of Health and Welfare. Masaki Miyasaka put Nagano ahead with his first goal in an orange shirt 17 minutes from the end, only for the college boys to equalise in the last minute of the 90 through substitute forward Gakuto Maruyama. It took extra time goals from Takuma Mizutani and Tsubasa Sano to clinch a much needed 3-1 win for Yuji Yokoyama's beleaguered Parseiro. And there was also a battle for YSCC Yokohama, who travelled to Ibaraki Prefecture to take on Ryutsu Keizai University. J3's basement dwellers fell behind midway through the first half from a Kaito Yasui free kick, but they were quickly level as skipper Kento Dodate converted a penalty, a trick he repeated shortly after the restart to put YSCC 2-1 ahead. Rei Iezumi equalised in the 70th minute, but with 10 minutes remaining, rookie forward Charles Nduka scored the decisive goal for a final score of Ryutsu Keizai University 2, YSCC 3. It wasn't all Saturday success for J3 teams, though, as FC Gifu, despite coming into the tie in good form and Yosuke Kashiwagi finally making his full debut in green, slumped to a 2-0 loss at the hands of Honda FC. Yuta Hachinohe's 66th minute header and a close range finish by Rayon Kodama in injury time set up Takayoshi Anma's team to concentrate on the league. Moving on to the Sunday ties, and at this point in the pod, dear listener, I'm aware of the potential danger of overwhelming you, as there are a large number of goals and scorers to cover. Lots of numbers, lots of names, but I'll try and navigate through it all. Iwate Guruja Morioka and Vanrare Hachinohe together led the way, both annihilating regional league opposition by the same scoreline of 13-0. Against Oyama SC from Yamagata, Iwate coach Yutaka Akita fielded a full-on reserve side, which nevertheless rewarded him with 10 different goal scorers. There were two apiece for full debutants Kenneth Otabor and Ren Yamakawa, and for substitute Brenner, plus one each for Shota Yomesaka, Han Yonte, Paul Bismarck Tabinas, Tatsuya Tabira, Takuma Takeda, Kenta Kurashima, and Yuki Shikama. Hachinohe's hapless opposition were Saruta Kogyo from Akita Prefecture, who found themselves two down inside 4 minutes against a somewhat weakened Vanrare lineup. The goalscorer list reads: a second-half hat-trick for Yuki Aida, two each for Takumi Shimada, Yosuke Kamigata and Taisuke Akiyoshi, and one apiece for Kazuma Tsuboi, Takeya Kuroishi, Kairi Harayama, and Yoshiki Oka, which I think adds up to 13. Let's note that Masahiro Kuzuno's team have, in their 8 league games this season, scored 7 times. The goal trail doesn't run dry there, though, as J3 leaders Katare Toyama put 8 without reply past FC Hokuriku. Again, this was some distance from being a full-strength Katare side, but their goal scorers were Shoto Suzuki on his debut with 2, then 1 each for Yuya Himeno, Hiroki Todaka, Yoji Sasaki, Daichi Matsuoka, Shoma Otoizumi, and Shunta Takahashi. At the Osako Yuya Stadium, Kagoshima United recovered from consecutive losses in the league to beat MD Nagasaki 4-0. As was the case in their Emperor's Cup qualifier, Kagoshima were forced into an early change as forward Takuma Sonoda was taken off in only the 17th minute. But it was Sonoda's replacement, rookie Shunsuke Yamamoto, who opened the scoring with a close-range header just before half-time. In the second period, Rei Yonezawa with his first in 5, a characteristic run and curling shot, rookie Kai Ishitsu's eye-catching individual effort, and a tap-in from Yushi Yamaya wrapped things up for Arthur Pappas' team. The new coach at Gainare Tottori, Kim Jong-song, was in charge for the first time as his side took on FC Tokushima. There wasn't much shuffling of the pack for Kim, although he did award a first start of the season to Hayate Sugi, a left-sided player on loan from Kashiwa Reysol. Gainare ran out 4-1 winners thanks to 2 goals from Yu Okubo and 1 each from Taiki Arai and Masataka Kani, Yuiku Fujiyama getting a consolation for the non-leaguers in the 90th minute. Mention too for Fujiyama's teammate Kota Shimoda, who came on as a substitute in the 70th minute, was booked in the 71st, and then sent off in injury time. As on Saturday, however, the J3 teams playing Sunday didn't have it all their own way. Kamatamari Sanuki's recent cautious improvement suffered a setback as Zdravko Zemunovic's team lost 1-0 at Kochi United of the JFL. Yoshiharu Fuji's goal 10 minutes into the second half proved the difference between the sides. And as with the Ehime Imabari tie, you can look at this game through the lens of Shikoku football development and consider at what levels the respective teams may be playing in a few years' time. But for the 2021 Emperor's Cup, what does all this mean for the 9 J3 teams who've made it through? In the draw for the second round, Nagano play all-conquering Kawasaki Frontale, Kumamoto are up against Sagan Tos, YSCC meet Kashima Antlers, Imabari have been drawn against J2 High Flyers Kyoto Sanga, Iwate play Vegalta Sendai, Hachinohe meet Yokohama FC, Toyama match up with Urawa Reds, Tottori meet Cerezo Osaka, and Kagoshima take on in-form Avispa Fukuoka. The second round ties will be played over the 9th and the 16th of June. So what's next in J3? I'm recording this ahead of Fukushima's rearranged game on Wednesday the 26th of May at home to Iwate, in which a win for the visitors will see them back up into the promotion places. But to look briefly at the matches in round 9, with one fixture on Saturday the 29th and the others all on Sunday the 30th. The Saturday game sees 2 of the division's form teams meet as Fujieda host Kumamoto. Then on Sunday, frontrunners Toyama go to Tottori, where Kim Jong-song faces a stern test in his first league game as coach. Gifu are at home to winless Wooden Spooners YSCC. For Iwate, there's the potential banana skin of a trip to Senoki. Under new management, Imabari make the long trip to Hachinohe. Fukushima head to Numazu, who've lost their last 3 with just a single goal scored. And there's a lower mid-table battle at Nagano, where Kagoshima are the visitors. The team with a bye this week are Miyazaki, who return to action in round 10 at home to Hachinohe. With all the week's business seen to then, that's it for this mini-pod. All that remains is for me to say, thanks for listening, enjoy your football, and see you next time. Bye for now.
We'll be right back.